Okay, so I'll start the recording. Welcome everybody to the R8 requirements kickoff meeting run by Alec Goldner. Today we're presenting the CMPS team is presenting on the R8, the Release 8 Honolulu CMPS project roadmap and overview. Again, a collaborative effort from many people and many people on the CMPS team are on the call. Tony Finnerty and Toyn Cyberlink, Jacqueline Bolak, Zhu Xiang are some of our regulars that are on the team here on the call. I'll spend about 15 minutes going over the overview of the CMPS, and there'll be a 15-minute overview of the R7 CMPS POC, which is the foundation for the R8 work, and then a few minutes on the what we're doing, the roadmap to show you what's going on between R6, R7, R8, and beyond, and into Istanbul and Kyoto, and then a few minutes on the use cases and the CMPS usages and database, and then some Q&A. So a quick overview for the business case in R8, the architecture overview and technical flows. So in the requirements subcommittee, one of the key things is, of course, this may be one of the most important things that you need to do in the requirements subcommittee is define your executive summary, your business impact, markets, and funding financial impacts. So our executive summary, the configuration and persistency service, CMPS, is intended to be a real-time service that's designed to serve as a data repository for the runtime network element configuration data that needs to be persistent and is applicable to multiple domains, RAN, transport, and core. And this was explored in R7 as a POC. And on R8, we're going to be proposing this as a standalone project. The focus, it should be highlighted, is that, you know, the CMPS database stores runtime data related to network element in data, so it's not meant to replace the you know, the ONAP management data, like, you know, ANEI and data stored in SDC and so forth. So there are lots of existing databases that this isn't meant to replace. Tony, do you want to add anything to what I just said?
I don't. It's a wonderful summary.
So, this was crafted by the whole team on our last team projects meeting. So, you know, every word was every sentence was gone over pretty carefully. Business impact, so the ability of service providers to visualize and manage network element data in a network, VNFs and PNFs and logical constructs with ONAP is critical to lifecycle management and OA and M operations. The project has business impacts to enhance the operation of data handling with ONAP by providing efficient data layer services. so, you know, basically providing a data layer service to allow you to store network element, you know, data will then allow you to facilitate the basis for visualizing and managing that data. So again, we should highlight, even though we're kind of focusing a lot on the wireless RAN domain, it applies to wireline, transport, optical, and other domains as well, as other companies join and start to become aware of the project, we expect that other domains will use it as well. So it's not market or geographic specific. It's expected that scaled installations such as edge and core ONAP deployments will also be able to use the database across these installations. The team has given thought to how, you know, edge installations of ONAP might interact with core installations of CMPS. Clearly this project represents a large potential OPEX savings, because if you don't, you know, if it facilitates the ability to configure networks, saving time and expenses. Okay. So we have gone to the architecture subcommittee about 5 times. I do meet regularly with Chakar, the PTL of the architecture subcommittee. We are actually presenting, Tony and I are presenting tomorrow on the architecture subcommittee, the component description for this project. I've already presented it before, but we're kind of representing it because right now the architecture is going through M2 component reviews. And some of the other architecture presentations we've made, we went to the architecture subcommittee to ask, where should this fit in the overall picture, asking for advice and guidance of how to develop this and where it should go. The advice we got was that it should be like kind of a shared service and as a standalone component, which we've been pursuing since October of last year. So the CMPS concept is that it provides a data layer service to store network element data in a database. So microservices and use cases can store network element and read and write network element data. Additionally, configuration information can come in across this standard defined bus event, which was a use case in R7. And it's a 3GPP standard and ONAP and ORAN harmonized VES event that's come in. It's available in VES 7.1.1 and in R7 and R8, we expect to go to VES standard 7.2. It comes across the DMAP bus and can also store information into you can update the CMPS database that way. Controllers and other policy and use case and things can read and write to the CMPS database as needed. And then the ANI active naval inventory, which has a real-time view of the network, of course, and the things that exist in the network, the CMPS component can sync with that to get a view of what's available. When a XNF appears or disappears, of course, the CMPS database has to be come to align with that. This is just a little bit more detail on the same on what I kind of just described. I guess from the main thing here is that there are lots of existing databases, like 35 existing databases, and this project isn't meant to replace those, but rather mostly focusing on something different, network element data as opposed to management framework data. So now, use cases and things within ONAP, platform comp things within ONAP that might need to know about that may, of course, access and interact to the CMPS database due to that reason. But again, it's not meant to replace that. Once built, of course, a project could choose to store whatever they want in the database. But the charter is such that it's not meant to do that. So this is an overview also suggested from the team that we emphasize that the network elements can come from RAN or core or optical or transport or wireline. I mean, there's lots of different domains that could use the CMPS database and service. And of course, users with a northbound open API and GUIs could access, it's intended that, of course, an operator can peek into the database and see what's stored there. And immediately in our R7, and we expect in R8 as well, more POCs and the OFSON piece, the ever-evolving SON use cases and then network slicing, which is evolving release over release and is quite developed now, uses the CMPS database. Day one extension, adapter extension was an R7 use case. And I know there's probably going to be likely more ONAP, ORAN harmonization use cases as well. And then Bell Canada is leading a state management POC in R7, which will probably evolve more in R8. Bruno was on the call. Oh, we lost Bruno. That's not good. But anyway, he's one of the leads from Bell Canada on that. Okay, this is just a little bit more details of the views of kind of what I showed before. So a standard defined bus event comes in through STND defined VES event. It gets put onto the DMAP bus as a 3GPP provisioning namespace, and then the listener off of the CMPS project would listen to that and update its database. syncing on ANI when components start up, when the CMPS database starts up, it needs to have a view of what's in the network and updates as things come in and out. And then, of course, microservices need to be able to read and write data to the CMPS database. Under normal operation of ONAP, you may come across policies or clamp or control loops, and SO may need to update parameters And in that case, there are cases where the controller may be sending information back to the XNFs and simultaneously updating information to the CNPS database. okay, so here, this was suggested, a slide suggested from Fred Foyselin from Verizon Wireless. I think it was a good suggestion. Basically, want to show that ANEI and CNPS they have different concerns and different focuses, right? So, and it's very easy to confuse the two. You know, ANEI is a database, and it's a database that has lots of database functionality, like viewers and, you know, things like GraphGraph and Sparky and things that can view a database, and are we kind of recreating the wheel. So CNPS, again, is meant to store stuff that's specifically not in ANEI. ANEI has a view of all the existing XNFs in the system. and CNPS, while it also needs to know about those same systems, and here's the overlap, right? It needs to know about what elements exist, because it has to have records for each of those elements, or could have records for each of those elements. It's what it stores is significantly different than what's in ANEI, right? It's meant to store things like runtime operational data, configuration information, stuff that doesn't belong in inventory, connectivity stuff, and other configuration information. Okay, I'll stop there for a minute. Any questions about that so far? Okay. So Tony and Toyn will talk about the model-driven POC that was done in R7, and will probably, will serve as the basis for the R8 work.
Tony Finnerty here. So this is a kind of a contextual diagram for the proof of concept. So apps would be on-app components. We talked about controllers and such like, but we also see value-add apps that build on top of this as well. So other components within on-app that would be using that. So that's where the CM apps come into play. Sitting below that, then we have the potential for common CM type functions, because we're talking primarily about CM data, configuration data from XNFs. So there are certain types of configuration management type functions for understanding a little bit more about what CM is, as opposed to fault manager performance management. So this is context. So this is how you would access configuration data. So then you get into what is the configuration and persistency service, which is down at the bottom, which is what we're looking for. And because this is meant to be multi-vendor and also multi-technology, multi-domain, that as Ben pointed out earlier, we have radio access, we have transport, we have lots of different technologies, core. There will be lots of different capabilities and models that will be provided by those XNFs. So our ability to understand those is very difficult to do if we make everything static with the static schemas. So we looked and said, we need to make this model driven. We need to be able to adapt this persistent store at runtime, to be able to add new schemas at runtime without incurring downtime, without having to have a lifecycle event in the ONAP platform as a result of that. So then we have a modeling tool chain, which helps us to do that. And we have a model service, which helps us understand those models as participants or collaborators with the configuration and persistency service. And then sitting underneath that, we have a persistence plugin, because we're not entirely sure what database technology should be underlying the configuration and persistency service. So we have a service provider interface that is implemented by different persistence plugins for various database technologies. And in our proof of concept, we're going to start, I think, with Postgres. So that's this slide. I hope I've covered what was meant to be covered on this slide. And again, this now is delving further into the actual scope of the configuration configuration and persistency service proof of concept. So in the center, we have of this spider's web of ovals and circles, we have the configuration and persistency service. What we want to concentrate on is how the model-driven schema, how we will actually do model-driven in terms of the configuration and persistency service. So we expect in our main flow that an SDC, somebody will design a new service or onboard a new XNF, and within that, they will populate a model that is compliant with Yang. That new CSAR that was created as a result of that design activity will be published on DMAP, and then we'll have number one here, something that is capable of extracting that model and making it available to the core part of the configuration and persistency service. So then if I go to the bottom left, when a XNF that is related, that is a type of an XNF instance is deployed and it's made available in the ANAI, we use number three, the synchronization, to inform the configuration and persistency service that an instance of that XNF exists. So then we are in a position to synchronize or update information relating to that XNF compliant with the models that have been added in the SDC. So core part of this is how do we do the model driven? So we decided in our POC that this is the thing that needs proving. So we understand, for example, how to synchronize with ANAI. That's not difficult. The VES events and the SAN PCI use case have proven that we can actually take events, standardize them in VES format, put them onto DMAP, and then update a configuration store. So we know we can do that. The second aspect that really has to be proven is the service provider interface to the database management system, number four. And of course, in order to do this, you have to have some use cases. So we have already existing OOF SAN PCI. We have in the pipeline network slicing and end-to-end extension use cases coming along. So we will use some of the concepts that we will take from those to prove. So we don't need to prove that we can do create, replace, update, and delete, but we do need to have something that will exercise create, replace, and update, and delete in the proof of concept. So the focus of the proof of concept is how do we maintain an abstraction to an underlying database management system and also provide a model-driven system that doesn't require platform lifecycle management in order to support the onboarding of a new XNF. I hope I've covered everything here. You want me to cover that one? Yeah, that's the pipeline from the physical network function or the network function through DCAE using standard or non-standard defined VES events and then onto DMAP and into a component that will update the persistent store. That's pretty much in the design base. It's more or less proven that that's in place. We need to polish it up and make sure that we can actually do it properly or do it again with the configuration and persistency service. But this is one of the key use cases to maintain the runtime an accurate view of the configuration and state of XNFs in the network reflected in the configuration and persistency service, i.e. mirroring of XNF configuration data. Is there another slide or am I going too fast?
No, you're right on time.
Okay, Tuan, do you want to take this one or shall I?
Yeah, no, that's fine, I can take this. Yeah, since we're working on a proof of concept, we try to just in summary here on what we're trying to prove. So we really want to make
you're coming in really softly, Tuan. Can you maybe move closer?
My mic was up. Sorry, I forgot about that. So what we're trying to prove is, first of all, we're trying to prove that we can use the Yang fragments, so the model, to basically read and write any kind of data without a fixed scheme. So we're not designing a scheme based on the data that we're working with. It's going to be generic or schemaless very basic schema just that can store any data as modeled in the young fragment. So we want to demonstrate that the young fragment can be added at during runtime. So it's not added at design time, but at runtime. Ben showed us some of the cases that the models can be coming in. And then the behavior of the application will be driven by the model that has been added by runtime. So mainly at the discussion to Friday meetings, we're working towards the architecture on how we can actually achieve all of this. So that's still a little bit ongoing, but a lot of it's been fleshed out now, how we can architect in such a way to make those things possible that we that we resolved there. And then finally, we hope to get a bit of an idea of some idea of how the performance, the capacity of the system that we're going to build.
Okay,
there's one more slide, is there? So the base, what are we using for the POC? It's basically going to be new code, but one of the main dependencies that we have and that I'm analyzing at the moment is the ODL, the Open Daylight Young Tools library. So that's a comprehensive library that will parse the model for us and also parse young data and just some limited form of validation. And that's what we'll be starting with. We'll be adding some validation and we'll be adding the actual persistence of that data. So that's what I was trying to achieve. And as I just mentioned on the Friday meetings, we have a list of decisions that we're working on. So this is kind of the big item points that we want to agree with the team, how we're going to achieve these. So things are not 100% sure that we have different ways of doing things. We want to document and to discuss how best to achieve that. And that's being done on that page that I've linked here.
Okay, good. Any questions on the R7 POC? Okay, if not, we'll move on to the roadmap. I think it's important to note that the team had wants to sort of socialize the terminology so that we refer to the R6 stuff as CMPS 1.0, the R7 stuff that we were doing now as CMPS 1.1, and then the R8 Honolulu stuff as CMPS 2.0. So 1.0, the pedigree of the provenance of this project really starts in the ConfigDB in the OFSAN PCI use case, and they started this work in CC SDK under SDNC. And that's since basically, that continues to evolve as the PCI teams are still using that. And that will be extended to support the NN network slicing stuff. And then, of course, we just went over all the POC stuff, which will demonstrate some really fundamental basic functionality, like being able to read and write data and maybe some limited access control, and then a state management POC being driven by Bell Canada. And then, of course, what we're talking about today is to have CMPS as a standalone project in R8, which will entail, basically coming here, going to the TSC, going to the architecture subcommittee, and being representing our project proposal again to the TSC. And hopefully we'll have learned a lot from the POC to be able to create this as a standalone project. And then eventually we'll deprecate the other stuff and transition the use cases over to using CMPS once it's set up as its own project repository. So eventually we'll introduce more advanced functionality like data recovery, maybe model adaptation, and continuing on to further functionality in R9 and R10, Istanbul and Kyoto, auditing and traversal and data history rollback, backup syncing, performance optimization and scaling. I mean, so it's not necessarily clear yet which of these functions will go where, but I think it's important to note in any R8 presentation or project proposal that we aren't trying to, drink the entire, we're trying to boil the ocean and do all of it all at once. But it might seem that way if you read the project proposal, because the project proposal, of course, describes everything that we might want to do over the life of this project. Okay, so any questions on that So again, here we're presenting here on Ala's call, the requirement for CMPS is a standalone project, and we have a very flushed out detailed project proposal. Let me actually, maybe I'll just jump to that really quick just to show people.
So
this is the POC design, and as Toyin mentioned, you know, there's an actual links off of here also describe and capture where we currently are with the architecture. And let's see, so the project proposal, like we started in October of last year, goes over all of the basic concepts and the scope of what the project's trying to do. We describe the architecture, how it fits into the architecture, all of the basic functions. And here you see, you know, we describe everything. So it can be very easy to think that we're doing all of this all at once, which you know, we're not. and then dependencies and scope, what we're trying to achieve and what are absolutely necessary for the project to operate, and then some things that we are doing which have value added. So of course we want to be able to take in Yang models and be able to access components and obey the intra ONAP security restrictions, and then of course some database implementation. So we have a number of people on the project, and anyway, so you see the project proposal, and we added this roadmap, which I need to update here, to show you where we're going. Okay, let's see, we're right on time. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about the use cases. If we look at the agenda real quick here. So we went over an overview, went over the R7 POC and the roadmap of where we are now and where we're going. And we'll spend a few minutes talking about the use cases that are kind of using are immediately using the CMPS and will be using the CMPS POC in R7, R8, and beyond. Notably the OFSON PCI use case, the network slicing, the ongoing mobility standards, ORAN, ONAP, 3GPP harmonization, various use cases, and the state management POC are use cases that we know of that are using CMPS. So OFSON, we've probably seen presentations on this already from the SON team. There's been demos and recorded demos from the use case realization calls that you can listen to. They're really good. The basic idea of SON, there's three major ideas behind self-optimizing networks. And one is self-op configuration. The second is self-healing. And the third is self-optimization. So we want to try to make a wireless network autonomous to be able to optimize itself, to configure itself, and as much as possible to be able to heal itself, right? So PCI is one of those self-configuration topics where you're trying to take physical cell identifiers and detect collisions and correct them as new cells get assigned. And we see that there are a number of things that it cares about. So cell IDs and PCI values, of course, and neighbor lists, timestamps, and PF names. So these are things that it's already storing in this ConfigDB, MariaDB solution that they currently have and have used since R3. They have in many of their slides and stuff, you'll see CMPS, so they're ready to jump over whenever CMPS is got enough infrastructure for them to use it. And then network slicing has been evolving since R3 as well, R2 and R3. Mostly it was started off as just modeling work, and you see here they're looking at more advanced functionality to provide some of the network slicing management functions and higher level capabilities. And of course, if you attend their meetings, you know, they do talk a lot about the Chu Yu Gao is the person who's working on some of the modeling stuff and leads a call about that. So from the 3GPP standards, the TS28.540, 541, which is the 5G NRM, which builds from the 3GPP TS20.620 and 622, the generic our generic model. The standards suggest some objects basically, and some parameters associated with those objects. And of course, there could be more, but the standards is a good place to work from, because you can kind of count on that all vendors and service providers will be wanting to at least support those. So you know, they care about these parameters and will are likely to store them and use CMPS to store them. So objects related to slices and subnets and service profiles are crucial to that that use case. So I don't know if Michaela, John Keeney, I don't know if Zoo or any or Jacqueline or anybody else wants to talk to this use case. I can kind of talk to it, but I don't know if somebody's more familiar with it than I am. So let's see. I don't know if I have. Let's see what.
Perhaps you can cover it briefly.
Yeah. So basically, since R4, R5, there's been a number of use cases in order to try to harmonize ORAN and ONAP together. ORAN is pretty driven by the 3GPP standards, which is good, but they are also defining a set of documents and standards themselves for use in a RAN network. You'll hear the terms O1 and A1, so O meaning the OANM, basically, interfaces, and the A1 is mostly deals with this real-time RIC. This controller, which is meant to serve as an intermediary to handle these sort of real-time stuff that might be faster than ONAP can handle. So there's basically essentially coordination between that and this thing to allow it to allow what's called the SMO. So ONAP is essentially a manager, right? So they call the managers the network management things SMOs. And so you can define across this A1 you can define these policies basically that tell you how to interoperate with that. And that's what this A1 adapter use case is about. ORAN is in the bronze release, so they're kind of early on in the B release, basically, and I think they're going into copper, I think, is the C release. So there's a number of, I think there's like about 10 or 12 working groups within ORAN that do various things that define things from gateway, front haul stuff to, on through the various RIC standards and stuff. So there are likely to be quite a number of synchronization, harmonization use cases moving forward as well. Okay, I see Bruno's on the call. He found his way to the call. So you want to talk about the state management POC, Bruno?
From StateDB perspective, so there is nothing new since we presented in that DBF, but the way we were seeing the network state in the picture is really to be able to keep the configuration of the actual configuration of the network, but also some state of the network. And so in order to do that, it really also you have to have reference to the inventory and also the design services keep track of the state, and network state and configuration database can be seen as the pendant of the intent DB, the intent that for now and also we more have in CDS, but later on if we are able to come with these two instances for actual current state and the intent, also it will be more convenient and efficient to be able to compare and see differences between intent and actual configuration or state. I think that's what we have here. And the way we are also putting the state and configuration database in our control loop is really to being able to help and work with the analytic application, and instead also having all the analytic application keeping track of the information they need that is needed to make some correlation and analysis. It's the way the idea there is to provide a command store where all this information is kept and analytic can work with. So that's mainly also the idea where it's sitting in the picture. Yeah, that's it for this one. After that, all the other step were the regular control loop steps. And also we are building, this is a quick just overview of the API that we are building, this state and configuration database on top of a REST API to be able to retrieve information from the store. Yeah. So that I think that's it, yeah, for what we have.
Okay, any questions on anything from, so I think that covers the presentation itself. Are there any questions from anybody on anything?
Yeah. And the idea is also for this is because the, just to make the link with the CTS, the idea and the approach is quite the same. So that's why also we would like to be able to merge these two initiatives and really also have the current state database and configuration that we have really to merge the CPS that also we are working on upstream. That's it.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from anybody on anything? Yep. I can also just show you really quickly our we have the R7 project page, which will evolve into the R8 project page. We have currently a table of all of the key links. This will be updated to the R8 business driver page with the roadmap, a discussion of the terminology, and then some of the proposals we've made. So we've made the project proposals I showed you. There's actually there's a current R7 component description, and I need to add that as well. And then there's the POC also, the POC description also has basically the beginnings of a component description as well. And we've, some of the first things we did was actually define the architecture flows and the component description way back, even before we started the project proposal. In terms of just basic, the use case functional definitions, I don't think I'll go over all of this, but basically, you know, it describes the some of the key ideas and description, some of the key flows that are involved, and post conditions and things. And then also we have the service information model driven from the template, which Jacqueline is working on some of the modeling stuff. So we'll be defining some of this as we evolve this into R8. Maybe Jacqueline, do you want to say a few words about what maybe the CMPS modeling stuff is aiming to do?
Yeah, I can just say very quickly that this is a first draft of a model proposal, actually, that's a spin-off of the model-driven POC. So this was just trying to introduce the concepts of a model being used in a model-driven way into the common information model, and trying to picture that, you can see that there's an object on the left side there called application model that would then represent, that's an abstract class, and that would represent some form of onboarded application model. And mirroring that on the right side, you have an application data instance then, which would be containing the actual data corresponding to that model. This is a very preliminary proposal. There's, of course, a lot more to be fleshed out on this. And if there's anyone that's interested in helping out with that modeling, that would be very appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that's basically it. Any thoughts or comments from anybody? So we're pretty much on a little bit ahead of schedule. So, okay.
Have you been uploading this presentation to the
the so let me
can you put a link?
Sure, I'll put the link. Yeah.
Chat page.
Yep. So currently the link is here. I don't know, is there an R8? So if you go to this link, this is our project page, and
I opened, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I opened the links for Honolulu requirements.
Oh, okay,
on the weekend.
Okay, I can add it. If,
I think I did it like a month ago or so, so there are those.
I see, okay, let me see if... Is it off this, or is it, let's see.
Just, let me, second.
Here, yeah, here, okay. This looks like you have
okay,
a page here.
Fun. Okay,
yeah. Okay, so we'll, I'll add a thing here.
Okay, just similar. If you can put now in, okay, you've already did, okay, great.
Yeah, so you and basically then, have, I assume you want us to follow a similar sort of pattern.
Yes, absolutely.
What we did before.
Yes.
So yeah, okay, I can add something. So you want basically an entry kind of like this, right? And
mm-hmm.
I hope we can do that.
Okay, thank you very much, Ben, and everyone who presented today. Really great stuff. So basically, as I said, next meeting in 2 weeks, we will have one more presentation from 5G team, right?
Yes, the 5G service modeling.
Then the following one, we will cover backlog. Plus, if there will be another presentation by then also this. And as I said, the objective is during the month of September to get EUAG presentation of priority. Let's see how it works. As I said at the beginning, I approached a new EUAG leader, LA from China Mobile. Hopefully she will be back and to me, and we will actually get the priorities on time, because in order for us to proceed with the list of priorities by end of November, we really need their input in September, I think. So this is why this is important. Anyway, thank you very much, and talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.